This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday. The scandal is still going on. In fact, there's some new information on the scandal in the U of A that I'm going to get into on the show. Hugh Hefner passed away, and I think that we should have that discussion. Goody at the Movies will come up at about 10:45 this morning, and Bill and I are going to get into that a little bit, because I think there's something to be said for what Hugh Hefner did, didn't do. You may be despise Hugh Hefner, but let's just be honest, sexuality through his magazine became accepted by some. And I'm wondering if it went over on the movie side and on television as well. I saw American Made at a screening the other night, and I blew Bill off. I was in deep thought. And I, you know, when you get just really deep, I'm one of those people where I get thinking and I'll walk right by somebody. I'll even walk by family members and I'll just, they'll think I'm mad at them or something. I walk by Jared, you know, I walk by Justin or Eric, and no, I'm just one of these people who gets very laser focused. I did that to Bill the other night, so I've got to apologize. It was just flat rude. But we'll get into American Made with Bill, and if you should see this Tom Cruise film. And he also wants to talk about Victoria and Abdul. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. It is Thursday, so let's start looking ahead to the games. Actually, an interesting Thursday night game. While most Thursday night games are dog food because teams just aren't ready to bounce back, you do have the Bears and you have the Packers. At least you have one can of dog food there with the Bears. So we'll talk with Jimmy about that. The ASU football weekend, U of A, is on a bye this week. And some other things. I want to start with the Diamondbacks, though. It looks like it's going to be Colorado. And the fact that the game is next Wednesday, it's 5 o'clock. If it's the Rockies, Greinke throws tomorrow in Kansas City. That'll be his last start. 5 o'clock, the weather is supposed to be warm, so I don't know. We're getting these, is the roof going to be open or not? I've never been into that. It's like, what is going on the field? If you're a little uncomfortable, deal with it. But I get it. MLB and the Diamondbacks will have to figure that out. So the Diamondbacks win again yesterday, and again they find a way to pull one out, another Houdini act. A bases-loaded walk to Peralta, a three-run ninth, and J.D. Martinez hit his 16th home run here in September. We had a terrific conversation yesterday with Pedro Gomez. Pedro joins us every other week, ESPN baseball analyst insider. And we talked about J.D. Martinez in the future. You know, what's going to happen here with the Diamondbacks? What is his price tag going to look like? And I went down the path of how do you keep J.D. Martinez – and how do you keep Paul Goldschmidt? And how do you keep Zach Greinke? And Pedro said it's the Yasmani Tomas contract that is the linchpin in all of this, because Tomas isn't playing. They owe him a boatload of money. And will the owners say, we got to keep J.D. Martinez here? Guys, I think I know Ken Kendrick well enough to say this, that he's not going to let J.D. Martinez just walk out the door without trying to figure out a way to keep him. Actually, it's somebody today whose opinion I respect a great deal. Not an agent, not somebody with an organization, just somebody who knows baseball inside and out. This person sent me a text early this morning, and he said, you know, the team should consider trading Paul Goldschmidt to keep J.D. Martinez here, because Goldschmidt's contract is coming up too. Guys, you have to look at this from a dollars and cents standpoint. And I say cents spelled both ways, with a C and an S. Okay? It's not so simple that you just say, we're going to keep everybody here. I'm not suggesting that that's the route that goes. But if Greinke's contract is not movable and he's pitching so well, you've got to have frontline pitching. That's $30 million plus on Greinke. J.D. Martinez, if he gets $120 to $150 million, if he gets $20 to $25 million a year, okay, now you're up to, what is it, $55 to $58 million tied up in two players. Goldschmidt needs an extension. He's an MVP candidate. going to get an extension. 2025, I don't know how high this number could go with him. But you're going to be in the mid-80s on your payroll with three players. You could say that Jake Lamb has made progress, and when his number comes up, they're going to look at that. When Archie Bradley's number, when you start going down the list of everybody on the roster, how can you in Phoenix keep Paul Goldschmidt, J.D. Martinez, Zach Greinke? I mean, really, you have to ask that question. It's very fair, and Pedro brought up Yosemite's number two. You know, do you just say if you're Mike Hazen, look, we gave it a run with J.D. Martinez. We're not going to get in a bidding war. We're not going to win a bidding war against the Giants. We're not going to win a bidding war against the Mets. We're not going to win a bidding war, fill in the blank, this team and that team, because we have our own stars that have been here that we want to keep as well. And these are discussions that any good Major League Baseball team has to have. As fans, no, this is a stupid conversation. We're going to keep all of them. It's not that simple. How many fans come to watch them play? Not many. How big is the television contract? It's huge. If you pencil it out, the new stadium, if you're trying to send a message to fans that you have to have a better stadium, then you have to open the checkbook up and you have to pay Goldschmidt and you have to pay J.D. Martinez and you have to pay Greinke. So there's a lot at play here. It's not just what's going to happen next Wednesday against likely Colorado. And I think they beat Colorado. Yeah, I think most of us believe that with Greinke on the mound against Colorado, you win. And then you're in a best of five against the Dodgers. You get a best of five with the Dodgers, suddenly this market becomes awake because it's L.A. Anything with L.A., if it's Lakers, Suns, you guys know how that works. If it's Kings, Coyotes, you know how it works. Doesn't work that way with Rams and Cardinals. That's because the Rams are from St. Louis. But if it's Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Puig peeing in the pool and all the celebration and the beat L.A. and five games with the Dodgers, potentially. All of a sudden, this market, that's what it takes in a market like this, is a long playoff run. So most people who aren't paying attention, and that's most of the people that are sports fans, most diehard sports fans, they know the Diamondbacks inside and out. There's not a lot of diehard sports fans here in Phoenix. This is not the most passionate sports market, if you haven't figured that out yet. But if you go on a run and you play the Dodgers in a five-game series, and everybody and their brother, every news anchor is going to be wearing Diamondback colors and Sedona red and go team and cheer and all that nonsense. Every sports guy is going to be down there rather than being over at the Cardinals hearing about backup left tackles. So, I mean, it's exciting. It's great. Obviously, with the Cardinals losing to the Cowboys, the interest changes into the Diamondbacks. It just does. If the Cardinals had beaten the Cowboys, this is a bandwagon market. It is. Doesn't mean people aren't going to watch on Sunday, but they're now looking ahead to the Diamondbacks game on Wednesday night, and rightly so. The FBI investigation, and I'll go further into this at the bottom of the hour. So Nike was, their grassroots program was raided this morning. An Adidas rep said Arizona offered top recruit $150,000. This is according to another federal complaint. So now you have another player that's involved in this. I'm getting run over with the fan that wants to know who the next coach is going to be at the U of A, which I find interesting because Sean is still there. The Board of Regents is meeting this morning in Flagstaff to take this up and to talk about it. Who knows what they're going to think? And then their best player broke his foot. Raleigh Alkins broke his foot and had to have surgery. So he's not going to be available until December or January. All that stuff's off the back burner. Any one of you that are still on this, we're still going to win a championship run this year, you might want to tap the brakes, not a little bit, like a lot. You might want to get through this. And if you're an Arizona State fan, you might want to really tap the brakes and zip it. Who's your shoe contract with? Who's your apparel contract with? Might be Adidas. It's not might be, it is. 8 years, $33.8 million, $4.2 million annually. ASU left Nike. Nike was at 2.1. ASU is at now 4.2 with Adidas. Who's in the middle of all this? Adidas. Are their computers being confiscated? Are their agents' offices being raided? Yes and yes. So you better hope, if you're tied into Adidas, that the long arms of this, the octopus that is this story, has not connected to you as of yet, that it doesn't connect to you. There should be nobody at any school that's and even if you're not an Adidas school, now that Nike's involved in this, this is going to go through agents. This is just game changing. I was teaching my class yesterday at Cronkite, and I did the whole hour and 10 minutes standing, sitting on the grease board, just going through this, shoe contracts, the seedy side of basketball, college basketball. It all goes back to not wanting to pay players. That's it. Pay players, paying players, you're going to knock down a lot of this. The one-and-done rule is terrible. It's just awful. You want to put a three-year rule in place, as some are suggesting? That's great. If you're not going to pay them, for 3 years you're going to have programs that are shoveling money down their throats some way or another. You just are. You're going to have a kid who needs a coat, can't get a coat, and somebody's going to give him money. You're going to have alums that are still involved in all this nonsense. If you do the, just go from high school to college, or to the NBA. Go be Kevin Garnett. Go be Kobe Bryant. Go from high school to the NBA. You're going to knock a lot of this down. You're going to still have players that shouldn't go on because they're not that good, even though they think they're that good, and their aunt or their uncle or some representative or advisor say, oh, you got to turn pro. And they turn pro and they don't get drafted, or they get drafted at the bottom of the second round. And then they end up in Greece, and then they go to Turkey, and then they go to Austria, and then they're done. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and Nike served with a subpoena this morning for grassroots basketball. Just this morning. So it's going to continue. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. We're going to focus on ASU football on the other side of Jimmy as they go to Stanford. They're doing something cool with their uniforms. We're going to get into that and also the game against the Cardinal. Bottom of the hour, back on this, back on the Diamondbacks a little bit more, and also on the U of A, and then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We get 16 airings a week, guys, not just one. 16 times a week they put on Brad Sussmat Football AZ, and we appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona in the southwestern region of the United States. Let's go up now to Vegas, South Point Resort and Casino. The great Jimmy Vaccaro is with us as we look ahead towards a couple of really interesting games. I wouldn't say it's a loaded up weekend with big time matchups, but a lot of interesting games to get into. And the South Point Resort and Casino, the place to stop in. You'll see Jimmy there and say hi to him. Great Brent Musburger is there too. Packers, Bears. Jimmy, good to hear from you. But Packers, Bears tonight, pretty good Thursday night game.
Yes, and first of all, thank you for saying all those nice things about me on the website. So anytime, my friend, you or any one of your crew want to come and be a guest of mine, you know that the door is wide open, my friend.
Thanks very much, Jimmy. Packers, Bears, what do you got?
All right, buddy. Pretty interesting Thursday night game here. The Packers opened a 7.5-point favorite, total 45.5. Bears absolutely stepped up last week and knocked a whole bunch of teeters out against the Steelers. The game is down to 7. The so-called wise guys have taken the Bears plus 7. They'll even go a little bit lower, I believe. But come game time, we'll have plenty of parlays on the Packers with teasers and money lines. So look for that game to get evened out by the time we get there. But it's a pretty good Thursday night matchup. Can't wait for it myself.
I know it's not the big marquee matchup, but here in Arizona, after losing to Dallas, Carson Palmer got whacked around. They go in within the division. They meet the 49ers, Cardinals 49ers on Sunday.
It's fairly obvious it was a bad game for you guys there. And you know, this game, if we'd have made the point spread a month ago, we'd have had it at least 10.5 Arizona, the favorite over San Francisco. But we're at 6.5, and nobody's budged on the game, Brad. So right now, I don't know what to tell you, except I believe there'll be some money on the Arizona Cardinals, and some people will be willing to take 7. But it was a bad loss last week, and you surely know much more about that than I do.
On to tomorrow night in college football, Friday night, Washington State, USC. Matchup. Got to be really attractive for those just getting into Vegas to check that game out. View from Vegas, Cougars, Trojans.
Well, let me tell you, there's a game tonight and the four on Friday, which are great matchups for not a Saturday slate there. How about this? It's pretty unique. There are 5 road teams that are favorite in these games. Nobody more than a touchdown. So pretty unique. Wow. And we got some great games, as you just said. And USC, it's a great time slot. It's a 7:30 game at night. USC opened a 3.5-point favorite. Make no doubt about it, this game will hit 4, maybe even 4.5. But we'll be damn busy today and tomorrow, but Friday, some great matchups, my friend.
On Saturday, again, not a marquee matchup, but Arizona State surprised a lot of people by taking down Oregon. Arizona State now goes to the Bay Area. Stanford wasn't good early, Jimmy. They got blown out by USC. They lost at San Diego State. But now Stanford at home, they found a running game. They meet ASU Saturday afternoon.
Well, first of all, my friend, that was our biggest night game last weekend when your guys knocked off Oregon. A monster game for us. And so who knows, will there be a hangover? But Stanford's not playing that well either. But you're paying a price if you want Stanford. -16 on the game. They'll go up a little bit, but your guys, they showed some heart last week. Hopefully they can keep it close again. We will need them again come Saturday afternoon.
Stay well, Jimmy. Appreciate the time and insight. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy.
Stay well. There's Jimmy Vaccaro right there at Vegas, South Point Resort and Casino. You know, I might watch Bears-Packers tonight. Very seldom do I find my way near anything on Thursday night NFL because it's just not very good. There's no other way to put it. But I'm kind of interested by that. Maybe because it's the Bears are such a train wreck and there's Bear fans all around. You guys know this. If you're a Bears fan, it's I'm going to score a touchdown. I'm going to pull it. Oh, wait, I dropped the ball. We've got our quarterback figured out. Yeah, you always have your quarterback figured out. The Bears are just one of those teams. It's like a punching bag. And, you know, the Packers are the Packers. Packers are fun. Packers are good TV. The Packers are entertaining to watch. I am one of those that I can sit and watch Aaron Rodgers, and I'm starting Ty Montgomery on my fantasy team. Yeah, that's how it works. The Cardinals game on Sunday, it's one of those that because there was all the buildup to beating Dallas and it didn't happen, and Carson just got beat on so much, and the conversation this week is they're going to get back 2 offensive linemen, and that's going to make all the difference in the world. It might, but Carson played well. I will take that Carson Palmer. The problem here has been it's another game off of the slate of Carson Palmer's career, and you're that much closer to the end of it. The end of this season, you know, if this is one of those years where the Cardinals are sitting there at 8-8 or 7-9 or 9-7, and Carson goes through the season, at the end of the year, it's okay, I'm done, I'm checked out. It's another year of we don't have the quarterback situation long-term figured out here. Just me, I don't see the answer being where it is right now on the roster of benching Carson Palmer for the rest of the season. That's crazy talk. That's lunacy. We're 3 weeks in, okay? So just knock it off. There's nothing there. I want to bring Tiger Woods into the conversation on today's show too, because I saw a picture of him. Justin, if you can find a picture of Tiger Woods from yesterday, I didn't even recognize him. So I'll get into that a little bit later too before we get to Bill. But up next, more on U of A and the scandal, the Nike subpoena served this morning, and a little bit more on the Diamondbacks, too. I'm Brad Sussmat. So there is another school that is involved in this FBI investigation in the corruption of the college basketball recruiting. And Greg Byrne is at the University of Alabama, and this has happened. Greg just got there, but Greg announced that the school accepted the resignation of a men's basketball administrator. So now Alabama is tied into this. Alabama joins Auburn, U of A, Louisville, Miami, Oklahoma State, USC as schools affected by the unprecedented investigation that's been conducted the past 2 years by the FBI. The story is not going to slow down anytime soon. So what does it mean if you're a U of A basketball fan? Like, what are the next steps? Because there's a lot of you out there. The U of A's Twitter account, A Players Program, that they proudly proclaim, has basically gone dark, has not put anything up the last couple days. The school canceled Sean Miller's media availability on Wednesday to talk about the opening of their season. That's the right move to make. there's probably a whole lot of behind the scenes sitting with Sean saying, what exactly did you know? There's probably some, when are we going to make Sean available, if ever? And when Sean becomes available, when I say available, that means to speak, because fans want to hear what the coach has to say. And I would tend to think that the way these things usually go, when it's scandal like this, there's the, I had no idea that this was happening. That's the Rick Pitino card that he'd used before he got his ticket punched. I'm not saying it's going to happen with Sean, but what I am saying, and I don't know, I would think that Sean would say things like, I was surprised and shocked like to everybody else. He's not going to say, well, yeah, there were some things that were a little shaky, a little fishy. He's not going to say that. So just if you're waiting for him to speak, the only value of that is just to put up some 15-second fill in the time. And that's all that's happening on a PR end. I can guarantee you that. He's not going to say anything more than I was really surprised and shocked and disappointed, or I had no knowledge that this had ever happened. And that's going to be it. But we're dealing with the FBI here. We're not dealing with the NCAA. So this isn't going to go away with just one little press conference with a friendly group. There'll be national news organizations that are going to show up in Tucson, and they're going to show up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and they're going to show up at Auburn, and they're going to show up in Miami, and they're going to show up at USC. And there are going to be news people there that aren't going to give one rat's backside about how many talented five-star kids that there were on the roster when all this went down. They're not going to care. They're not going to care that U of A hasn't been to the Final Four under Sean Miller. That doesn't mean anything. Doesn't matter how good the team is supposed to be this year. FBI investigating U of A basketball. That's all you need to know. And the size of this and what it means to the NCAA basically has been using kids as billboards for years and years and years. They have. They put their shoes on them, the shoe deals, the coaches wear the shoe swoosh or the Adidas logo. Go put up a picture of N'Keal Harry the other night. I did this in my class yesterday. He's catching a football and he's got right there his Adidas logo from Arizona State University. So this isn't just a thing with Nike or Adidas. I saw a pretty funny tweet, though. Somebody put, for the first time, I'm so glad our athletic deals with Russell Athletic. You know, that's funny. That's funny. In the story, it's not funny. You know, I put up a story this morning. I threw a line in there about waiting for the next shoe to drop, and some people took offense to that. But that's where you are. You are a punchline right now. You are. The story, too, about this investigation, this was a 3-year investigation, if you're not aware of it. I would think a lot of you have read up on this by now or have talked to people about it. This went on for 3 years. So in 3 years' time, how much stuff is out there? Have they put everything out there? Is this going to be piece by piece, school by school? Is this going to be a story that the most commonly asked question I've gotten is, A, who's going to replace Sean? We don't know anything about that. But B, how long do you think this investigation will go? In our society, we just want things to be really quick. We want it to be over with. Just boom, let's move on to the next thing. I just want to get to Media Day. Yeah, Media Day is going to be a blast. Sean Miller is going to go to San Francisco, and he's going to stand in front of assembled media, and he's going to say, I can't comment on that, or I had no idea, and he's going to hate it. He doesn't like that stuff to begin with. And I actually like talking with him if there's not a press conference setting. And if you dig through just the X and O stuff, it's not a smarter coach than Sean Miller. But you have to go back, don't you? Don't you have to go back to, he's had this guy by his side for 11 years. The last 9 in Tucson. 11 years, the same assistant coach who's been with you and recruited players through thick and thin. Through 11 years this happened. Don't you think at some point in those 11 years, it's like, man, we're getting some really good players? Or is it just, well, they go do their thing? I had Dan Marley on the show yesterday about this subject. We had a really interesting about 5-minute conversation. It's up on the podcast on the website. I actually put it on the homepage this morning if you want to check it out. So there's that going on. Goody at the Movies is next. Bill Goodykunst, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, looking towards the great sports weekend, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykun, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, and of course, man of many talents, thoughts, interests, very well-rounded, not physically, but just... By the way, the other night you said hello to me as you walked by with a baseball cap. Before
you blew me off. You know what?
You
big-timed me. You big-footed me.
You know what? I felt like such a dork after that because I was in deep thought about something. And I'm like, that was Bill that I just blew off. That was just rude of me. Like, I'm surprised you're even here today.
By the way, I am well-rounded as a person. I'm a lot more well-rounded than I used to be.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it was the ball cap. I don't know. Hey, so Hugh Hefner, let's just start there. Hugh Hefner passes away at 91 years of age. What impact did he have on screens, not just big screens, but TV screens, with what he did with Playboy and making sex acceptable to some throughout our country?
I think he had a big influence on pop culture in general. I mean, I saw somebody said something about how his Playboy was the Midwest version of Sin. You know, it was pretty clean, but nobody had done anything like that before. I think he is such a contradictory figure. I mean, he was a genuine champion of the First Amendment. I mean, just getting Playboy published was, you know, kind of a First Amendment victory when people weren't doing that kind of thing. On the other hand, you cannot tell the story of Hugh Hefner without saying that he completely objectified women. Mm. And that his image of women in Playboy, you know, thin, you know, big chest, you know, and that kind of thing, really came to define in a largely unhealthy way what people expected of women. And so, I mean, he's just a really interesting guy. Really, you know, as I say, I mean, very contradictory, but also huge in popular culture.
Did he impact film in any sort of way with what he was doing with his business?
I don't know, because there's always been there's a lot of complicated things that go into film, which include, you know, the Catholic Church and the, you know, decency societies and all these other things. I think that if he did, the way he would have done it would have been in just more of an acceptance,
yes,
of sexuality, of like, hey, this isn't gonna, you know, as it turns out, you are not taken bodily into hell if you watch a movie where a woman takes your top off.
Yes, yes. That's my point on this is I think that there was, from my view, some impact. I don't know that for sure, but it seems to me that as the years went by, growing up, Playboy in the 70s and 80s was taboo. Like, if you even touched or looked at the cover, you're going to hell. And then as I got older, it's like, you know, the articles in this are pretty good, actually. Okay, they actually are pretty well written, and very well written, actually.
Some of the best writers in, yes, American history have written for Playboy. I mean, they, you know, that's, you know, of course, that was the running joke, how I buy it for the articles.
Right.
That's a punchline anybody our age immediately can go to and know exactly what it means. I mean, you know, you don't have to say Playboy. That's all you have to say.
All right, let's get to the movies. Actually, I want to go through the people that you interviewed this week, because Eric sent me over a list. You had a big week of interviews. Go through this.
Yeah, I've had Judy Dench, who is fabulous. She's one of my favorites I've ever done. But partly it's that Judy Dench voice, but partly also it's her saying things like, everybody thinks she plays royalty. She said she's only played royalty three times in a movie and once on stage. And she said, I don't know why people think I'm that instead of the slut that lives down the street. And this is in her Judy Dench voice. But also Jake Gyllenhaal, who's another one of my favorites, and rated his interview. He's like, ah, because I've talked to him several times. He said, I don't even know if this one was top five. I don't know.
Ryan Gosling. You talked to Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford this week, right?
Yes, they made fun of me. They kept saying Harrison Ford was fooling around with the phone. He couldn't get it to work right. And he said, we're going to insist on calling you Mr. Goodykun because it's so fun to say. I was like, oh, what? Guys, come on. And then he said, no, and Harrison Ford said, no, actually, I want you to call me Bill. And Gosling said, yes, and you can call me Mr. Goodykun. and so I did. So I have this recording of these guys just cutting up the whole time. And it was funny for like 5 minutes, but I only had 10 minutes.
I gotcha.
So part of it was, I think I'm just going to write it exactly how it happened. And part of it is like me saying to these guys, I was like, guys, you're killing me. I was like, everything you say, you'll say these really thoughtful things, and then you'll negate it at the end by saying this ridiculous thing about my name. And Harrison Ford's like, why would you cut that? That's great. I was like, well, maybe it is. Like, here's like an example. They said Harrison Ford gave this thoughtful answer of why he did the movie. And then at the end, he says, like, you know, and something goody coons. And then I said to Gosling, I said, well, why did you do it? I mean, is it just because it's too great an opportunity, or was it something, you know, the script or what? And he said, you know, I saw it and I thought, by goody coons, I'm going to do this movie.
That's funny.
Like, I was like, come on. So I said, guys, please, you're killing me. It's like, you've got to stop. And they would not even slow down.
Okay, so the movie that they were in,
Blade Runner 2049.
And how was that? I don't have a trailer on it, but how was it?
It was embargoed.
So we're not going to talk about that.
If you like the original, if you saw the original, you have to see it. I mean, that just goes without saying.
All right.
But it's different director, so it's different.
Let's move over then to the movie that you and I saw, and that was American Made. So I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think it was over the top great from start to finish. My daughter, who's much younger, obviously, than me, like by a lot of years, said this was the best Tom Cruise movie she's ever seen. And she's not a Tom Cruise fan. I'm talking 23-year-old female, which I take into account. If a young audience likes it.
You might want to show her Magnolia or...
right.
On the 4th of July.
I said, you know, there's probably been some better ones. What did you think of American Made?
I liked it. And I thought, I didn't think it was quite great. I think I'm in there with you. It was for the subject matter, which is pretty serious. And I'm, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but this guy was, it's based on a real person. So you can certainly find out, you know, ultimate fate. But I just, it was a bit breezy for the subject matter, but that was okay. I like Tom Cruise. I think he's underrated as an actor, and I think that he was good in this. He sort of played against the type, not just by playing a bad guy, but he's such a control freak. And here's a guy that was pretending to be in control and really wasn't.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of cool and kind of interesting. I just talked, in fact, yesterday with Doug Liman, the director who directed him, and he said he also directed him in Edge of Tomorrow, which I thought was a really good movie. And he said the way he gets these performances out of him is he challenges him, and he's not used to being challenged. He said it went so far as they played tennis while they were making Edge of Tomorrow, and Cruise hit a ball that he thought was out. And Liman says, that's out. And Cruise is like, no, it's in. And he said he told him, look, I know you're a movie star, and probably nobody's called one of your balls out in 30 years. He said, you probably don't even know you're supposed to hit the ball between the white lines. He said, but I'm not letting you get away with this. And he said he loved it, and that kind of carried over to the movie.
So this is one to, in my view, you go see it, but you don't go in with the expectation this is going to win any big awards.
Oh, no. And I think that's what they were shooting for at one time, but that's just not that kind of movie. Ultimately, it's not. It could have been, I think, but that's not how they chose to do it.
I know you have a screening here shortly, so let's get through Victoria and Abdul, and I'll let you go. Victoria and Abdul.
Ah, the great Judi Dench. She is so good in this. She plays Queen Victoria. It's the second time she's played her. And it's a real story about later in her life, she was bored and fat and tired and, you know, was doing the same thing every day. And they send this guy over from India only because he's tall. That's the only reason. He was the right height. So they send him over, and he... he ignores all the customs and like looks her in the eye and all this stuff, and he kisses her foot and she loves it, and they become real friends. He's an Indian Muslim who became friends with her. She learned to read and write Urdu because of this guy. He became a teacher, and of course her teacher, and the royal court just went nuts, you know, with bigotry and craziness and everything else. So the movie is not as good as she is. She's great. Mm. I mean, Abdul ultimately is pretty, he's underwritten. There's not enough about him. But, you know, go to see it for her because she's terrific.
All right. Can you say what you're going to see?
Yeah, it's if I can remember what I'm going to see. Suburbicon, George Clooney directed it.
All right.
With Matt Damon.
Enjoy your day. Thanks again, as always.
Okay, you too.
See, I won't blow you off next time, so just kick me in the knees. Kick me in the knees if I'm that deep in thought, so I felt bad.
Well, it must have been important. But.
See you later.
All right, thanks.
Bill Goody-Koontz, Goody at the Movies. It's great when he doesn't even remember what movie he's going to see because he's just seen too many dang movies. That's funny. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Jared is the Iron Man, we like to call him. Justin Toscano produced, didn't screw up too much today. We appreciate him jumping on board. There's plenty of content up on our website, sports360AZ.com, sports360AZ.com. Have a great Thursday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.